Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
One. Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman, as always. And we're here on the Hoosier Huddle podcast previewing Indiana's trip to Ohio State, which is going to be a top 10 matchup between the third-ranked Buckeyes and the ninth-ranked Indiana Hoosiers. It is also for a leg up in the Big Ten East race. This is probably, you could call it the de facto Big East title game, or Big Ten East title game between the two. But before we do that, let's get a word from our sponsors over at Bet Online. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you could still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you could get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, TJ, before we head over to Columbus, let's talk about Indiana's 24-0 win over the Michigan State Spartans in that old brass platoon game. What were your thoughts from that game?
Kind of a weird game, you know. Indiana was fairly sloppy in the second half on offense, but it really didn't matter. Certainly not for the outcome of that one. Michigan State's offense was completely toothless from a very good performance by Indiana's defense, plus Michigan State's offense, just if we're being honest, really not very good. They did not present any kind of a threat to the IU defense, and I think everybody on that field knew it by the second half that there was no comeback that was going to be mounted. You'd like to see the offense finish better in the red zone for sure. And I think ideally you'd like to see them run the ball a little better than what they were able to. We do need to mention Indiana was without two starting offensive linemen, but still you would like to see them execute better in the run game. All that said, I'm not going to complain about a shutout road win in the Big Ten against a team that, you know, has had Indiana's number here for the past several years. Michigan State has held the brass platoon since Tom Allen became, you know, the full-time head coach. So I was really, really pleased with the defensive performance in that there was never really a let up to let Michigan State's offense get comfortable. So I thought it was a really, really good performance from IU's defense. They tackled well. They didn't give Michigan State any hope of doing anything on that side of the ball. And again, created those three takeaways. Overall, a comprehensive beatdown given by the Hoosiers, particularly on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I thought it was a game where Indiana did not look as sharp as they did against Michigan, which is, it's hard to duplicate. That's what elite teams do, is they could put those A-plus games, especially on offense, together. I thought the defense played its probably its most dominant game to date. Now, Michigan State, as you said, is a toothless offense, and they have their own issues. But it's, you could only play the games on their schedule, and people have been discounting this team now because of their strength of schedule. But if you went back to the beginning of the season and then people went, oh my God, this schedule is so hard, and now it's like, oh, well, it was a bunch of cupcakes. Indiana wrecked Penn State. They, having that call go against you, we've seen what it has done in the past to teams, because Indiana's been one of those teams to have that call go against them. And Penn State's not used to those calls going against you. You also lose Journey Brown for his career with a heart injury and things like that. So there's a lot more going on than Penn State just being a bad football team. I think the win Indiana had over them just totally messed with their heads and messed with their season. The same with Michigan. I think Michigan State broke Michigan, and Indiana beat them by 17 points. That's what good teams do to bad teams. And Rutgers has been competitive, and Rutgers is a much better team than they were last year. And then to go on the road and beat a team that you've only beaten once since 2006 speaks all you need to do. But Indiana has a lot to clean up. And if they're going to go into Columbus and try and pull that upset, they have a lot to clean up. Because if they played like they did on offense in Columbus, it's going to be a long day. So we'll see. But the game to me, the offense, you know, you were without Caleb Jones. You were without Mike Kadick again for the second week in a row. We'll see what's going on with Caleb Jones. It was kind of a surprise that he wasn't playing. So we'll see if it's an injury or something else. We'll see if he's in Columbus for the game on Saturday. But the running game's not there. I did like how they used Tim Baldwin. I think he gives them a little bit more spark and wiggle to get to the outside. But this inside run, and a lot of that starts with the tackles too, the inside run's going nowhere. And you saw it in the second half. I think Tom Allen was trying to send a message to his offensive line, like, guys, we got to be able to get this yard to get into the end zone, put this game away and all that stuff. Now, IU should have kicked a field goal or two just to make that a four touchdown game. And 31-0 looks, or 30-0 looks a lot better than 24-0 with no points in the second half. But again, Mike Penix probably played his worst game of the season outside of the Penn State game, and he still threw for 311 yards. Ty Freifogel was fantastic. He's becoming IU's number one weapon now that guys are focusing on Wap Filior. But the run game's got to get going. The offensive line's got to get going. And the tight ends have to catch the ball. And I think part of the reason the offense kind of went into a shell in the second half was they didn't – you wanted to get out of there with a win, and you can't afford any more injuries along that offensive line. Defensively, I thought they were fantastic. Every time Michigan State had a chance to take momentum from the offense, Tywan Mullen came up with the pick. Reese Taylor came up with the pick. Thomas Allen, who's now out for the season, it looks like, with the hip injury that's being described as something like Tua went under, went with last year. It's just a brutal injury. He forced a fumble. And he had 2.5 sacks by Michael McFadden. Defense is flying around, and that's what you want to see. You hope Cam Jones is okay. He got hurt on a kickoff. You hope that that's not a concussion deal. It was called targeting after the fact. They created that penalty. But the defense is clicking. And if your defense is clicking and your offense can give you an A game, you got a shot on Saturday. So any final thoughts from Michigan State?
I feel really bad for Thomas Allen. And, there's nothing positive to come out of that. I mean, poor kid, 3 straight season-ending injuries. I hope that he's able to come back from that. Like you said, a serious hip injury that he's going to have surgery this week. His father, Tom Allen, said today. Our thoughts go out to him and to his family. And, you know, I know that Tom Allen is, you know, able to compartmentalize things, but I know that that has to be incredibly tough as a father. Certainly my kids don't play football. They're not at that age yet. But, when your kid's hurt, you know, you are hurting with them. for him to have to, you know, go right back to focusing on the game after seeing his son carted off. You know, I know that that was a very difficult thing for him. And hopefully Thomas Allen's able to come back from that injury and continue his football career. And then the second point, you know, Ty Freifogel, I think we do need to point out how great of a season he's having so far. Him and Penix definitely have a good connection going. And, you know, I think that the NFL offense will get into Ohio State now. I do think that's an area where the Hoosiers are going to watch tape and feel like they, you know, they could have perhaps not an advantage, but a spot where, you know, they can make some things happen with their outside receivers against Ohio State's secondary.
Yeah, and that's something that the experts on Big Ten Network and ESPN and all those guys, if Indiana's going to win that game, that's the matchup that they're going to have to take advantage of. So let's get into Ohio State here. One more words from our friends over at Bet Online. Again, we might not be able to get into a game, but football is back in full effect, and you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you could get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, TJ, it's 2020 has been a weird year, and it's coming down to an undefeated Indiana team ranked ninth in the nation going to face an undefeated Ohio State team who's coming off a week where they didn't play because of Maryland canceling the game, who's ranked third in the nation now. It's basically for all the marbles in the East. If you could have told me this after the Gator Bowl, I would have called you crazy, and I would have been super hyped. Now, there's a lot of complaining from the fan base on how Indiana's won the first four games, but you're undefeated going to Columbus with a chance to knock off Ohio State for the Big Ten East title. And if you win this one, you're in the driver's seat for it a little bit. You essentially have a two-game lead. Because let's say, Indiana would have Wisconsin left, Purdue, and Maryland. And Ohio State would have, I think, Michigan State, and somebody from the West. I believe a couple games from the West. But let's say Indiana loses to Wisconsin, if Indiana finishes 7-1 and Ohio State finishes 6-1, Indiana's going to the Big Ten title game. That's just how it is. So you have a chance to get in the driver's seat, control your own destiny, and that's all you could ask for. What are your initial thoughts of this matchup on Saturday?
So, you know, let's be very blunt about this. Ohio State is a big favorite on Saturday. The Buckeyes are, you know, three touchdown favorites. Depending on your sports book, the line opened up at either 22 or 21.5. In favor of Ohio State. You can call that a slap in the face to the Hoosiers. I'm sure that that is how the coaches and players feel about it. I also don't think that they particularly care. Indiana's players, if you've watched this team and you've watched these guys play, you understand that they are not going to Columbus feeling like they are the massive underdogs, feeling like they don't have a shot. This program feels like they are going to Columbus. If they play really well, they'll have a shot to win. Whether that's reality or not, we will see. I do think that there are some areas Indiana has a chance to make some things happen. Let's start on Ohio State's offensive side of the ball. Indiana's defense is going to get their biggest test of the season. There's no doubt about that. I do think IU might play against better defenses than Ohio State this year, thinking mainly about Wisconsin. However, I don't think Indiana is going to face a better offense than they will see on Saturday. Justin Fields is the best player IU's going to play this season, unless they happen to match up with Trevor Lawrence and the Clemson Tigers. He is completing almost 87% of his passes through three games, which is an absurd number. And it's not like he's only throwing 15 times a game. You know, they're chucking it around, and he is doing so at a remarkably accurate clip. He's got two main targets, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. Chris Olave is one of the more underrated receivers in the country, in my opinion. I think he's incredibly solid. And then Garrett Wilson, a little bit more of a big play guy. Olave, four touchdowns on the year. Garrett Wilson is their leading receiver yardage-wise. Running back-wise, I don't think that they have that major difference maker. Master Teague is very good. He is not on the level of a J.K. Dobbins or a Maurice Claret or somebody like that. Trey Sermon, more of a receiving back, but he'll get some carries as well. So lots of weapons on offense. Their offensive line, very good, but they have given up seven sacks through three games. So I think you can get to Justin Fields, and that's what IU's defense is going to have to do. Now, you look just straight off the bat. You look at it, two main targets going up against Tywan Mullen and Reese Taylor. You know, Indiana feels really good about that pair of corners, as they should, along with Jalen Williams. They feel really good about that group. They, no matter who they're going up against, feels like they've got the edge in the passing game, and they're probably right. Indiana has to come up with a way to make Justin Fields uncomfortable in the pocket and force him into some mistakes. So far, nobody's been able to do it since he started playing defense. Coming up with a way to make them uncomfortable is priority number one. On the other side of the ball, Michael Penix has to have a great day, an absolutely great day if Indiana's to have a shot. I don't think IU's going to be able to run the ball that effectively, but they do have to continue with that running game to keep Ohio State honest. And if you break off a couple, that's all the better. But you want to be able to solidly run it at 3 to 4 yards per carry, at least to give yourself a shot to make some plays in the passing game. Because if you allow Ohio State to just tee off on Michael Penix, it's not going to end well for the Hoosiers. I do like Indiana's outside receivers, and I'm including Miles Marshall, Wap Fillier, you know, Javon Swinton, Jacoby Hewitt, and Ty Freifogel. IU's got a lot of options. I don't think Ohio State's secondary is as good as it has been in the past, at least not yet. They could develop into that, but they're replacing a ton from last year's secondary, which was elite. I don't think that this group is there yet. So I think that that is the primary area of focus for Indiana's offense. I'd love to see David Ellis get more involved as well as a potential, you know, big play guy. But those are the two things that jump off really quickly as IU's receivers have to win their one-on-one battles against the Ohio State secondary, and Michael Penix has to give them a chance to do so. He's got to be – I mean, he has to play the best game of his IU career on Saturday for Indiana to really have a shot against the Buckeyes. And then on the other side, the Hoosiers have to find a way to make Justin Fields somewhat uncomfortable in that pocket, because if you don't make him uncomfortable, that you don't have a chance against him. He's too accurate, and their receivers are too good. Even Indiana's secondary, as good as I think it is, will not have a shot if that's the case.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Indiana, it's there's no fooling anybody. You're going in as three touchdown underdogs, and you know, if you think this is going to be a cakewalk for IU, you're crazy. It's always the toughest game on the schedule. Ohio State, look, Indiana's a very good football team. Ohio State's an elite football team, and they're just in a whole nother stratosphere compared to the rest of the Big Ten. And it's going to be – if they play their A game, it doesn't matter if Indiana plays their A game or not, because it's like going up against one of those great pitchers when they have all their things clicking and working. Man, it's just not your day. You go back to the dugout and try again tomorrow. Of course, there is no tomorrow when it comes to college football, But you just, there's some things you can't control. If Ohio State comes out and plays their A game, Indiana's not, it's not going to be good for them. And you look at Justin Fields. He has thrown 11 touchdown passes, and he's thrown 11 incomplete passes. He is insanely accurate. We'll see what this week off did. Is there rust? Is it rest? There are benefits to having the week off. You don't get banged up. You're not facing a Maryland offense, which is kind of gimmicky as well. But the downside of it is you haven't played that much football since the end of last year. There was no spring practice. Fall camp was kind of wonky, and there's no non-conference games. They've only played three games. So is there going to be a little bit of rust? He hasn't faced the secondary as good as Indiana's secondary all year. But if he brings his A game, it's going to be tough. For Indiana, the offensive line has to play better. You cannot let this Ohio State defensive line get after Penix and force throws kind of like Michigan State did, and force those throws that are going to get picked off. Michigan State did that. Shakur Brown had two interceptions on throws that were really – they weren't great throws. The first one was kind of a duck. He lofted up. He felt a little pressure. The second one he just didn't step into triple coverage, just was not a good throw. Ohio State has nine sacks in the year, led by Tommy Tugal. And Zach Harrison has a sack and a half. They're always good offense or defensive linemen over at Ohio State. So yeah, they got to get that going. Indiana's going to look to get the ball out quickly and make plays in space. Now we'll see if Ohio State's defense is going to play up on them. I know Michigan State's defense will give them a lot of cushion early on, and Indiana just ate that alive. So if they're playing man press coverage, can Indiana do what they did in 2017 and throw for 400 yards? This defense is better than that defense, and this offense I think is more dynamic. But you need to complete passes. You have to be crisper, and you got to get off to a fast start because this game could get ugly quickly, especially if you turn the ball over and give Justin Fields more time on the field to make plays, because he can make plays with his arms and his legs. And he's a Heisman front runner with Trevor Lawrence. He might be the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman right now. So we'll see what Indiana can do. You can't have special teams mishaps like you did on Saturday with, you know, short kickoffs into the wind, missed field goals and high snaps on the punt. That's a play that a lot of people haven't talked about, including myself, which I can't believe I forgot. It was the high snap on a punt from and Hayden Whitehead made a fantastic play catching it. Those are the plays that get you beat too in close games. So IU's got to play their A game at every level of the game. It's time to put it all together. If they do that, they have a real shot. Especially if Ohio State does not bring their A game. If Ohio State plays their B or C game and Indiana plays their A game, they got a real shot. TJ, what is your matchup to watch on Saturday?
Well, I think the matchup on the outside on both sides is fascinating because I really do think Indiana's secondary is going to give Ohio State the biggest challenge that they will have until, you know, if they make the college football playoff. I think that Indiana's secondary matches up with them as well as anybody in the Big Ten. Tywan Mullen and Reese Taylor, and then you can throw in, you know, somebody like Javon Williams as well. I really like those guys, and I watch the games. It's easy to see why. I feel like Ohio State's going to have a lot of respect for that trio. But, you know, they will feel like they can, you know, get theirs against them. And Ohio State's not going to change their game plan because of IU's secondary. So that's going to be fascinating. But no matter how good the secondary is, if IU's defensive front cannot beat the Ohio State offensive line and make Justin Fields uncomfortable, It won't matter how good IU secondary plays. You give somebody like Justin Fields and those receivers time, they're going to beat you. So I'm going to go with Indiana's defensive front, which is going to include whatever blitz packages Kane Womack is able to dial up. And you've got to be selective about that against somebody like Justin Fields. But that against Ohio State's offensive line, which, again, they have given up 7 sacks so far this year. So that's the matchup I'm looking at. But against Ohio State, you can look everywhere on the field and say, oh, that's an area we got to be concerned about. But, you know, I don't think Indiana has to be terrified. I do think that they'll be able to kind of hold their own in this matchup. I think Indiana, not to tip my hand, but I do like the Hoosiers to cover that 21-point spread, because I think Indiana's been, you know, told here for the last kind of few weeks, oh, well, yeah, that's nice. Good for them. Look at Indiana. What a story. And that's true. But it kind of has taken on a, oh, what a cute, nice story for that energetic Tom Allen and those bunch of overachievers. I imagine IU's players are pretty tired of hearing that. You know, they're damn good. Like, it's a really good football team that Indiana has. They beat the snot out of Michigan State in that first half and kind of just coasted through the second half. If they would have kept the pedal to the metal, that game's in the 40-0 range. I think that Indiana, not to go on a tangent, but they continue to be told, nice story, but you're not really at the big boy table. And I do think IU's going to show up in Columbus and not beat the Buckeyes, but I think they will show people we're not a title contender, a national title contender, but we do belong where we're at. We belong up near the top 10. That's not a fluke.
Yeah, it's definitely a litmus test in terms of that. But if IU goes in and loses by 21 and covers the spread or something like that, I don't think you just say, hey, we stink again.
No.
It's not that point. And I think that's where the IU fan base is that they're so zero sum for this game.
Yeah.
Ohio State's lost like 4 Big Ten games since 2012, something like that, something crazy. It's you're not accepting losing to them, but losing to them does not define your season. Does not define where your program is if you lose to Ohio State. Unless you're Michigan, it doesn't matter. I mean, it would be a historic win. It would be – if you're talking about a program change – now you're talking about sweeping the top 4 teams that have been in the top 4 of the Big Ten East, you know, basically since it started. That's how you change the program. That's calling a program-changing season. But, you know, a 3-touchdown loss to Ohio State's not going to blow everything up into oblivion and send you back to the dark ages. It's just not. So, you know, those expectations need to be, you know, kind of, I don't know, manicured.
Contextualized.
Contextualized to hey, you're playing Ohio State's a national title contender. They're the best team in the Big Ten. They might be the best team in the country. We don't know. They've only played 3 games. But you can't say, you know, all of a sudden this program stinks if you lose to Ohio State. It's just not going to happen. But back to our matchup to watch, DJ. For me, it's Indiana's offensive line holds up. If this offensive line can protect Penix, he could pick apart any defense. We saw that against Michigan. We saw it against Penn State late in the game. When we've seen it against Michigan State, Michigan State's defense is still good. They still have good players on that defense. It's not like they were running out, you know, walk-on guys. You still have Panishuk back there. Shakur Brown is a good player. Now, 3 of the 4 starting secondary players were out, but Antoine Simmons is a good player. They still had some dudes on that defense. But the Indiana offensive line, you hope that Caleb Jones is back this week. You hope that Michael Kadick is back this week. Not because they're superstar players, but because you're going to need some depth. And, you know, you're going to need, as well as Luke Haggard played in pass protection, Caleb Jones is so much better in the run game and clearing and collapsing sides of the lines that you need him back to get that run game going. And, you know, maybe you reshuffle the line down the road. But having him, having Michael Kadick, even though Dylan Powell has earned that starting spot, it just gives – you could give somebody a break and a breather during the game where your drop-off isn't all that much. Now, we'll see how much trust Hiller and the coaching staff have in some younger guys. Because I do think Indiana's offensive linemen, the younger guys, have talent. They just don't have experience. And the coaching staff hasn't played them because of it. So, to me, it's can Indiana's offensive line, and you'll get the theme because this has probably been my matchup to watch all season. If they could give Michael Penix time, that the offense should be – pretty good to go. If they can't and Michael Penix is scrambling for your life, you hold your breath and say, let's just get out of Columbus healthy. What is your one key for an Indiana victory? What is the one thing Indiana has to do on Saturday to pull off this upset win?
Well, there's obviously multiple things they're going to have to do, but if there's one thing that I think eliminates a potential of a win, it would be, you know, losing the turnover takeaway battle. If they cannot take the ball away from Ohio State, ending possessions, you know, without points, obviously, I do not have any remote chance of a win. If both teams play a clean game, Indiana doesn't have a shot. So I think they need to force Ohio State into those mistakes, win the takeaway battle, ideally by more than one turnover, which Indiana's defense has been really good so far at forcing those takeaways. That'll need to continue on Saturday.
Yeah, for me, it's along those same lines. It's being efficient offensively and defensively. Indiana was 18 for 18 in the red zone at one point after the first two touchdowns against Michigan State. They went one of five the rest of the way. Yep. That's not great. And now, yeah, they could have kicked field goals and boosted those numbers, but that's not great. They had eight trips, I think eight drives started at or around the 50-yard line, and they only scored 24 points. They need to be efficient on third down as well. And get that going. If you could get points off, if you could create the turnovers and get points off of those turnovers, cash in on your red zone trips. Doesn't have to be touchdowns all the time. Yeah, you'd love it to be touchdowns, but you can't turn the ball over on downs and miss field goals. You got to get points. Whether it's three or seven, you got to get points. And then on defense, the same thing. You got to be efficient on first down, efficient on second down, stop them on third down, and make them kick or go for four. The longer the drives go, the more chance you have to mess up. It's football 101. So, you know, limit those explosion plays from Ohio State. Make Justin Fields throw the ball more than he's used to and things like that. Don't let him beat him with your legs. And let your secondary make plays. Look, if he throws 45 passes and completes 44 of them, whatever. It's not your day. If you're an Indiana fan, their best guy beat us. I think you got to make him make mistakes, which he doesn't do very often, and getting into those third and longs and being efficient on getting them off the field. And Indiana did a great job of this in, I believe, 2017. Get three and outs, win the field position battle, and cash in those opportunities. Because if you don't do that, Indiana's going to go home like they did last year with a 40-point loss. Let's get into predictions. TJ, what is your prediction for Saturday?
Well, I do think Ohio State is going to come out with the win, but I think Indiana is going to show themselves quite nicely. I think that they will, like you said, it can't be a zero-sum game here. It can't be, oh, a loss means a failure, and this season is back to crap. No, it will mean that Indiana's 4-1 with a loss to one of the best teams in the country and a chance to still finish second in the East, which is a remarkable season. And a chance to still go to a New Year's Six Bowl, which is a remarkable season. So, really, I think it's important to keep that in context. But, you know what? There is a Big Ten East Championship out there to be won. That option is still on the table. I think Indiana's going to play their guts out and really show out well. But ultimately, Ohio State's firepower too much for Indiana to handle. Buckeyes win at 38-21.
That was my score prediction. Dang it. Yeah, I think it's a sad. I think Indiana does give a good showing. They can put some points on the board. I think it'll be a lot more competitive than it was last year. Not only do you have Michael Penix, a quarterback, your defense is a lot better. It's a much more mature team. I'm going to go with you, TJ, 38-17 Ohio State. With it being competitive for a half, maybe through three quarters, and then Ohio State's talented depth is going to take over. But I hope I'm wrong on my picks where they lose. IU is 2-0, so let's put the kibosh on Ohio State now. So, yeah, those are our predictions, 38-17. Take it to the bank. It's the spread coming out, I thought, was pretty fair. So, TJ, thanks for joining us on this Monday evening. Big week for Indiana football. Game kicks off at noon on Fox. And for those fans complaining that it's not a primetime game, noon on Fox is Fox's number one time slot. That's why they put it there. It's Fox's big noon Saturday. Get over the fact that game day is not there. Fox's big noon kickoff is going to be there covering it as well. So they'll have their pregame show. They have their top slot. And guess what? I love noon games, covering noon games, because I get done at 4 o'clock and I can watch the rest of the games the rest of the day, get to bed at a normal hour and all those things. So, TJ, can't wait for Saturday. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's a terrific opportunity for Indiana football to continue kind of their time to shine in the national spotlight. It's been a lot of fun so far. And quick shout-out to Peyton Ramsey and the Northwestern Wildcats knocking off Purdue on Saturday. Thank you, Peyton.
Yeah, it looks like if things keep going the way they are, Indiana and Northwestern will play on that championship weekend of December 19th. That does it for tonight's show on HoosierHuddle.com. Before we get out of here, we have one more word from our friends over at Manscaped. There's a new product alert over at Manscaped. It is time to new product over at Manscaped. Support the Hoosier Huddle podcast comes from Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They have a ton of awesome stuff that helps you clean up. So head on over to manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. The holiday season's coming up for the man in your life. This is awesome. It comes with a cool bag, a travel bag, and it has all the goodies that you need. So that's our promo code armchair at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. That does it for tonight's show. You can come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all the coverage. We'll have everything covered this week from press conferences, the stories about players, to opponent previews, all that stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll also be live on Hot Mic again, pregame, halftime, postgame. Come join Alex Compton, Andrew Walker, and myself as we get you prepped for the game. with also live in-game analysis and commentary, as well as post-game analysis and commentary. Thanks for joining us on this Monday evening. Enjoy the rest of the week. Hopefully it goes by quickly, and we'll be back on next Monday break down this game and hopefully preview Indiana's trip to visit from Maryland. Have a great Monday. Stay safe and talk to you soon.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.